So when I traveled around the world decades ago, studying different cultures and religions, I spent 2 months in India. In Delhi, I stayed with a family who shared a home with two other families. One family was Catholic, one family was Hindu, and one family was Buddhist. And rather than shunning each other for their different beliefs, they were committed to sharing their various faiths with one another and to raising their children collectively, being exposed to all religions. Now, each family lived on a separate floor of the home, and they shared a special sacred room where their various gurus or spiritual leaders would come and stay. And believe it or not, they gave me the privilege of staying in that room. It was an octagonal room, and each wall had a different icon from a different religion on it. So we had Mary and Buddha and Krishna and Christ and Moses and Muhammad and Ganesh and Zoroaster. And I slept in the middle of this room, surrounded by the greats. I never felt that safe and stimulated all at once, surrounded by these great spiritual teachers. It was one of the most impactful moments of my trip, and watching how these families lived open-heartedly with curiosity, embracing each other's worldviews and exposing their children to all of these different religions. And of course, it reminded me of that old story that many of you know of the elephant and the blind men, where each man touches a different aspect of the elephant and describes that aspect, whether it's the tail or the foot or the trunk, as being the totality of the elephant. Here, these families were honoring different aspects of the divine, but not saying that their way was the only way. Perhaps they were really seeing the totality of divinity by acknowledging that there are many paths to truth and meaning in this world, and that they all have their own validity. And that's what we do as Unitarian Universalists, I think. We attempt to learn about and honor many different paths, acknowledging that there are a variety of ways to worship and express spirituality. And this is a key tenet of our Unitarian Universalist faith, and one that I think makes us unique among religions. We're not saying that ours is the only way. We're saying we honor many different paths and interpretations, and that what binds us together and is at the heart of our faith is love. Thank you. Yes. Teaching human beings to love more is probably at the core of most religions, even though that teaching has been so distorted by many religions over the millennia. But as is written in our new proposed Article 2, we are naming that love is the center of our faith, and pluralism is one of our values. So let's take a look at how pluralism is defined in the new proposed Article 2, and I invite you to read it with me. This is the last of the values that we've been studying throughout this year. So please read with me. Pluralism. We celebrate that we are all sacred beings, diverse in culture, experience, and theology. We covenant to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We embrace our differences and commonalities with love, curiosity, and respect. So further, the new Article 2 language also shares something called our inspirations. And until now, these have been articulated as the sources of our Unitarian Universalist faith in this way. And, well, now they are pictured in this way before they've been articulated as our sources. So please read with me the inspirations. Direct experiences of transcending mystery and wonder are primary sources of Unitarian Universalist inspiration. These experiences open our hearts, renew our spirits, and transform our lives. We draw upon and are inspired by sacred, secular, and scientific understandings that help us make meaning and live into our values. These sources ground us and sustain us in ordinary, difficult, and joyous times. We respect the histories, context, and cultures in which these sources were created and are currently practiced. Grateful for the experiences that move us, aware of the religious ancestries we inherit, and enlivened by the diversity which enriches our faith, we are called to ever deepen and expand our wisdom. So as you can see, that embraces pluralism and many different ways of coming and in being inspired. And there's also a section on freedom of belief in the proposed Article 2 and our current Article 2, which is vital in understanding the unusual freedom involved in being a Unitarian Universalist. There is no UU dogma, so we maintain our freedom and right of conscience as individuals and congregations to believe and govern as we decide, as Tim mentioned earlier. So read with me this section on freedom of belief. Congregational freedom and the individual's right of conscience are central to our Unitarian Universalist heritage, which speaks again to pluralism. So ultimately, this asserts that no one, including the Unitarian Universalist Association, can tell any individual or congregation what to do. We are free to examine our own conscience deeply and sense into what is right for us and work in collaboration together with our congregation. So for those who feel hesitant about the new Article 2, we have a lot of freedom. Our faith's pluralism encourages us to accept everyone with their differing opinions, whilst remembering that we are all part of this loving community. We get to model how we live together with divergent opinions and work for the highest good of the whole while loving one another across difference. So in introducing our values and covenants as a faith, the proposed revision states, read with me again, we draw from our heritages of freedom, reason, hope, and courage, building on the foundation of love. Love is the power that holds us together and is at the center of our shared values. We are accountable to one another for doing the work of living our shared values through the spiritual discipline of love. So, my friends, the spiritual discipline of love at the center of our faith calls us to practice the value of pluralism, among others. And our pluralistic approach is acknowledged in our inspirations, as you just read, our freedom of belief, and in our heritage of freedom, reason, hope, and courage. Centered around love, we welcome all with their varied spiritual expressions. And as a pluralistic faith, we accept many truths. We don't limit one another or tell each other what to believe. We encourage one another to ask questions and find our own path to truth and meaning. We accompany one another despite diverging beliefs, remaining in dialogue and open to different understandings. And we respect our varied approaches. How unusual is it that we gather each week with humanists, atheists, Christians, Buddhists, Jews, Hindus, pagans, and others intermingling, sitting here among you all, and focusing on the greater work of our congregation, which is to nurture spiritually courageous people who transform the world through justice and compassion. We may not all get there the same way, but our goal, our vision, is bigger than our differences. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Do you know how countercultural and exciting that is in these ever-constricting and polarized times? I mean, this is massive what we do here And it's very unusual. What a gift to offer our world, right? A faith centered around love, not individual beliefs. And what's most important about having a faith that allows such diversity is having the opportunity to practice approaching one another with curiosity, open-heartedness, and wonder. Of course, we all have our own ways of making sense of life. But no one of us has the ultimate answer on the nature of God or humanity or existence. We all view life through our own lenses, affected by our upbringing, by our culture, by our conditioning, and of course, our trauma that we have encountered during our lives. Our challenge as a faith is to remain open to so many different perspectives on the world and to not condemn those who see it differently, but to welcome varied viewpoints and experiences. My friends, such pluralism has been at the core of our faith since its founding. And in the 1500s, during the Reformation, our one and only Unitarian king, King Sigismund of Transylvania, invited Muslims, Hindus, Jews, Catholics, Protestants, and others to come and practice their own faith in his kingdom without persecution. Now, that was groundbreaking in those days. And his court minister, Francis David, was purported to have said, "We need not think alike to love alike," right? You all know this. We need not think alike to love alike. All were welcome to be who they were and to practice the faith that was meaningful to them. And that is the core of who we are. And of course, such thinking was radical in those days, and sadly, King Sigismund died after only 3 years in power. And his Catholic nephew took over, and guess what happened? Unitarianism and its pluralism and tolerance was banned in that area for the next 400 years. And then when Unitarianism started evolving in the United States in the early 1800s, and the Transcendentalists began expanding our religion to include nature and the arts and differing religious views and understandings of the divinity of Christ and the Bible, well, at first, it was way too out there for Christian Unitarians and Christians in general. So it took another 50 years or so before a wider, more universalist worldview, which was no longer Christ-centric, was allowed. And it was actually Unitarians and Universalists who in 1893 convened the first Parliament of World Religions at the Chicago World's Fair, inviting spiritual leaders from all around the world to create a global dialogue of faiths, which was really exciting. So my friends, we don't just tolerate pluralism, as you use, we actively invite and celebrate it. Just witness our various services here, which alternately have pagan, Jewish, Native American, Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, or Islamic influences. And of course, we try not to appropriate these different paths as our own, but rather honor and learn about these various traditions from experts, like we did last week when we had a Chumash leader among us. We want to learn about these different paths up the mountain to broaden our worldview and our understanding of theology, don't we? But this is not an easy path, my friends. I know we aspire to that, but keeping our minds so open can be extremely challenging. Human nature causes us to want simple answers and certainty so that we feel safer and more assured in our path through life, don't we? We want others to think like we do so that we don't feel so alone on this journey in life. But pluralism challenges us to develop an open mind, being able to hold many truths at once while remaining curious and open-hearted. It's an incredible challenge and also a deep joy for us to love those who don't agree with us, who see the world differently, is perhaps one of the most challenging things that love asks us to do. And that's what we have the opportunity to practice right here in our congregation every week. We all have our own personal views, our values, and our spiritual practices that we feel most comfortable with. Our faith asks us to share them with one another respectfully and listen deeply to each other with curiosity, wonder, and acceptance. And of course, that's what we also do in our monthly Conejo Valley Interfaith Association meetings. We're a group of Mormons, Baha'is, Buddhists, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Christian Scientists, and UUs who honor each other's traditions. We learn about them and we try collectively to make the world kinder for all. We don't believe the same things, but we respect one another, we build connections, and we work together across difference to make a positive change in our local community. And that is what binds us together, working, acting for good, but also getting to know one another and relishing our common humanity. My friends, one thing that binds us all together is that we all have similar struggles and joys in life. We just have different ways of making sense of them. Ultimately, we all care. And this is a time when our society is becoming increasingly anti-pluralist and less tolerant. A time when people are more and more retreating into their own silos and ways of doing things and condemning those with different worldviews and beliefs. So what we are doing as UUs, my friends, is really challenging and countercultural. But pluralism encourages love to grow and flourish, whereas homogeneity, dogmatism, and insistence on being right breeds hatred of difference. Professor, therapist, author, and trainer Mick Cooper writes in his blog on pluralism, "Pluralism is a spirit of welcoming, warmth, and care to the other. It's a willingness to engage and dialogue. It's an openness to being wrong and to learning. Pluralism says how I see things is one way of seeing the world, and I want to value and learn from others. Pluralism isn't easy," he says. "It's a constant willingness to self-challenge and to look at where we might be wrong or limited, even with regard to pluralism itself. It requires a capacity to detach ourselves from our agendas, our beliefs, our commitments, and to recognize that there may be other ways." And he goes on to remind us that we mustn't get stuck in a single narrative and must always be open to a variety of ways of approaching life, while not condoning worldviews that claim to be superior truths or claim meta-narrative status. Pluralism, he says, is characterized by humility, by a quest for learning, and by a deep love for others and a prizing of our unique contribution that each of us can make. In her powerful book, Holy Envy, Finding God in the Faith of Others, Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor talks of her life-changing time teaching world religions in a small Christian college in Georgia. Now, you can imagine that might be challenging. Taylor reminds us we need to look at diverse religious traditions with curiosity rather than interpreting them through our own lens. For example, she says, "When I think I see a Buddhist worshiping a statue of the Buddha, I yield to the Buddhist when he tells me that he is not worshiping the Buddha, but honoring the Buddha's example. Or when I think I see a Muslim woman constrained by her headscarf, I listen when she tells me how hard she fought to wear it against her family's wishes." So we mustn't make assumptions in our pluralism. And Taylor shares how disorienting it is for many of her Christian students to discover after a lifetime of Christian indoctrination that there are so many other religions and understandings of God and ways of being. And she recounts many stories of opening students' hearts and minds but also shares the discouraging tale of one of her students who decided to leave her class upon discovering that he might have to expand his vision of the world. When he found out that she was not going to be teaching what was wrong with all the other religions, but rather lifting up both the good and bad parts of each religion, he decided to drop the class. Believing the Bible literally and that Jesus was the only way to God, he didn't want to pollute his mind by being introduced to strengths of other religious viewpoints. Nor did he want to entertain the idea that Jesus might not be the only way to God. And sadly, my friends, we know that it's such fear and insistence that there's only one right way which leads to our great divide and intolerance as a society. And this is a good warning for us. We too must be cautious not to fall into a similar stance of not wanting to pollute our minds or feeling superior and like we have the only one right way. We must be mindful of being prejudiced against others based on stereotypes, on politics, or religious traditions. And that's where the use of reason and conscious reflection become important. And Taylor's biggest lesson in teaching world religions for many years was that we cannot assign a generic, global understanding of each religion. Each faith has its own varieties of ways to worship. We need only look at the many different strands of Christianity, from Pentecostals to Mormons to Catholics and Protestants to different types of Episcopalians and Presbyterians and Methodists, to see there is not only one way of being a Christian, just there is no one way of being in a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Jew. Indeed, Hinduism allows a plethora of gods and goddesses to give people many different access points to practicing their faith. And in some ways, our UU faith is most similar to Hinduism. Ultimately, pluralism is about curiosity and respect for and listening to each person's unique understanding of their faith, both within this congregation and beyond. And it's not about generalizing, but rather about being open-minded, open-hearted, and being willing to listen and learn. And so, my friends, I ask each of us to do the same with our own faith. There are many different iterations of being a Unitarian Universalist, too. And though we can loosely say we all agree on our 7 or 8 principles currently, there are a myriad of different ways that we interpret those principles and put them into action. And likewise, with our new proposed Article 2, expressing UU values and covenants, each congregation and each individual will interpret those differently and use them in unique ways to inform their living. And we're encouraged to do that in our faith. Remember, we read out the congregational freedom and the individual's right of conscience are central to our Unitarian Universalist heritage. So in closing, my beloveds, and sorry we've gone a little longer today, I invite us to practice pluralism by keeping our minds and hearts open to one another. It is a fundamental and unique value to promote in a religious tradition, not to insist that our way is the only right way. And I think pluralism is a value that we can celebrate and promote proudly as UUs, even though it may at times be challenged and challenging. So I invite us collectively to embrace that challenge with respect for one another, with curious minds, loving hearts, and helping hands. Because that, my friends, is the only way to create a more peaceful and loving world. And isn't that what religions should be all about? Creating more peace and love in this world? It's definitely what we need at this time and always. May it be so.